Good morning, everybody. Yeah, good, that's better than last week. Don't tell those who were here last week. That was the struggle bus, you know what I mean? You guys are on it. You guys are excited to be here. That is so awesome. Good to see everybody. Hey, grab your Bibles. We're continuing our series in Abraham. We're sort of about to the end here of this story of Abraham. And we're going to wrap it up mostly today. We will probably come back to his sons at a later date. We're going to get a stopping point today. But one thing I hope that you guys have noticed in this series is what our intent was, is that you see a man who is growing in his faith. You see a man who's growing in his knowledge of the Lord, right? You also see his wife, Sarah, grow in faith. We highlighted her, especially a couple weeks ago. But I hope you see this, and I hope it encourages you, especially if you're newer to the faith, you recognize that God does not expect you to follow him perfectly from the beginning. Okay? We grow in our knowledge of God, and we grow in our faith. Okay, that doesn't mean that there's no effort, but man, we don't come to Jesus and just all of a sudden our faith is perfect. Okay, we obey perfectly, even if we know we should. All right, it is a growing thing, right? And so this is not an excuse not to try. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. But sometimes we can hold up heroes in the Bible as something unattainable because, like, wow, I could never do what Moses did, right? I could never be an Elijah or Elisha. But they didn't start where they ended, okay? Neither do you, neither do I. So I want us to acknowledge that, and hopefully that's something you can take away from this. So here's a question this morning. Once you get you started, get your brains working. What has been your biggest test of faith in your life? Think about it. You may not even be a follower of Jesus or claim to be, but you've probably had a test of faith, right? Think about what has been your biggest test of faith, right? There's a couple different kinds. One may be a test of faith that you didn't ask for, that was from a relationship or a job or something God didn't necessarily send, right? Today we're going to look at a test of faith for Abraham that God actually did send. So regardless of where it came from, most of you probably can recognize and identify a time in your life where, you know what, that was kind of a big test of faith, right? Because we're going to see it with Abraham this morning. And hopefully you have kind of caught the theme. This is not something he probably would have passed when he first started following the Lord. Okay? That's kind of been the point of this, all right? So let's review quickly kind of where we've been, all right? Genesis chapter 12, God called Abraham. He was called Abram then, called him to follow him, right? Left his father's household. And also in chapter 12, we see Sarah, she was protected. Their marriage was protected. God's promise was protected. Her integrity was protected. Delivered her and Abram from the Pharaoh in Egypt, right? Chapter 13, Abraham and his Lot nephew, they had to separate. They just became too prosperous, right? 14, Lot was captured. Abraham, with possibly the largest standing army of that time, went and rescued his nephew, okay? Conquered more than one king. Genesis 15, God makes a covenant with Abram, okay? 16, Hagar and Ishmael, you remember Plan B? We talked about Plan B. Okay, even though that wasn't God's plan, he still showed mercy to Hagar, Ishmael. Chapter 17, covenant of circumcision identifies, hey, you are the family of God. Okay, also changed Abraham and Sarah's name. 18, Sarah was promised a son specifically. The promise was always for her, but the Lord really zeroed in on her right there, made sure she knew that she was part of the promise as well. Second half of the chapter, we see God's justice and mercy as he dealt with Sodom and Gomorrah. In chapter 19, Lot was rescued. 20 was a lesson Abraham needed to learn twice. He was going to protect Sarah, protect the promise, okay? And then last week, we talked about Isaac being born and Hagar and Ishmael being asked to leave while God made some promises for them. So here we are today, Genesis chapter 22. Woo! I'm worn out. After all that. You guys got all that? You got that memorized? Thank you for your overwhelming response. That's a confident building. All right. Here we are today, chapter 22. We're going to start here, right? First, we're going to start with a risky request, okay? Everybody say a risky request. That was all right. I mean, that was pretty good. I'm struggling. Kay's not here. Pray for me, people. Genesis chapter 22. Here's where we're going to start, okay? We're going to see Abraham's faith tested here. Verse 1 of Genesis chapter 22. So sometime later, this was at least a handful of years after Isaac was born, if not a little bit longer. So God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain, I will show you. Parents, that's a problem, right? That's a problem for so many reasons, right? What has everything that we have read and studied, what was it contingent upon? The promises God made to Abraham. It's contingent upon Isaac. It was contingent upon a son being born to Abraham and Sarah. Even though they were old, beyond their own ability to have kids, right? So God promises one thing, and then here it appears that God is getting ready to undo that promise, right? Listen, even if you know the story, you imagine you being there at that moment. Like, oh my goodness. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to negotiate with the Lord all the time. I mean, he knows everything, but I often think he needs my advice. Anybody else? You guys, look at you. You guys are all so far ahead of me. There's a few of you that were honest, right? But this is where I would probably start negotiating with the Lord a little bit. Like, what? Seriously, come on. Lord, here's what I think about it. Number one, you would never ask me to do that. Because, right, logically, Isaac is part of the promise, right? And this is where people, even people of God, can talk them into stupid stuff, sinful stuff, if God asks you something that's difficult, okay? Or is leading you somewhere because it doesn't make sense to you. I'll try not to get off a rabbit trail on that. But here we see Abraham. He's coming out of a pagan country, and I think that's important to remember, all right? Let's remember his background, even though it's been 25 years at this point. Okay, actually, probably closer to 30. Okay, been at least 3 decades that he left his pagan homeland, his pagan country, is following Yahweh. Okay, and remember that time, everybody believed in a god or gods. Everybody. Right? Just, okay, they did. And so this is a story about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one true God, the God of Scripture, showing Abraham who he was, and he's growing in his faith, but here's what we need to understand. A child sacrifice, Abraham would have heard of that. The countries around him practiced child sacrifice. Okay, I think we read that last week. We were talking about mercy and justice. We talked about how God gave the inhabitants of the promised land 400 years to repent. Child sacrifice was part of what they did. So, Abraham, who knows, he's thinking, man, this is okay, something I'm familiar with. God, I thought you were a little bit different. Who knows the mental gymnastics he's going through? Okay, I'm sure there was this moment of crisis, but remember his faith had been growing. Okay, he had seen God come through for him. Listen, I know how I would have responded. I don't know how you would have responded. And again, I don't know if there was a conversation here. Scripture leaves it out. Okay, so we don't want to add one that's not there. But let's look and see how he responded, okay? Abraham knew that the promise was contingent upon Isaac. The Lord had made that very clear. Remember, they tried a plan B with Hagar and Ishmael. It was very clear. God said, no, you are going to have many descendants through your son, and that son is Isaac. So God's will was very clear at this point. Let's see how he responds. Verse 3 says, early the next morning, Abraham got up. He loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants, his son Isaac. Okay, so he's obeying. He's like, okay, let's go. Right? When he cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. So here's Abraham. Again, maybe there's more details. We don't see it here. There's nothing in Scripture that makes us think that he argued with him for a couple days, which admittedly I would, right? We see Abraham respond to this request that appears to put the promises of God at risk. Okay? But Abraham continues because he's a man of faith at this point. Doesn't mean he's perfect in everything he does, but his faith has grown to a point we're got to ask him this, even if it doesn't make sense. So number two, let's look at this. Abraham has become a faithful father. And let's look at this, because I want this point to sink in. Okay, who was Abraham faithful to? Ultimately, it was the Lord, right? See, as a parent, it'd be like, listen, I'm going to choose my child over God because my child's at risk here. Okay? But here we need to see that Abraham was faithful to Yahweh, the God of Abraham, okay, the God of Scripture. Right, and parents, this is where it's easy to talk ourselves out of following the Lord sometimes because we put our kids before the Lord. I'm serious. I'm going to try really hard not to nitpick here. Right? Youth pastor for nearly 20 years. See parents pull kids out of church all the time. There's family vacation where there's athletics. The kid moves out of the house. They wonder why the kid's not in church. because you've showed them for decades that church is important as long as there's nothing else that's more fun. Right? Listen, going to church doesn't save you. Going to church doesn't keep you saved. But just think about and pray about what you are teaching your kids. If you're camping, do a devotion on Sunday morning. Seriously, show them that we're still going to spend time with the Lord even if we're not in the building. Does that make sense? Because parents often teach their kids things they don't intend to teach, and then they wonder what happened. All right? I've seen that pattern over and over and over again play out. Right? Church is most important unless there's a better option. Think about it. Okay? We often put our kids' happiness ahead of serving the Lord. One more example, and I'm going to move on. We've had more than one set of friends called into missions to go overseas, and people questioned their love for their kids because how could you take their kids to another country? Listen, that's a tough decision, but they're showing their kids that they're going to follow Jesus no matter what. I think that's a more valuable lesson. Anyway, let's see how this plays out, okay? Abraham responds, but we're going to see Abraham's faith in action here. It says, verse 4, on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, then we will come back to you. This is a very telling verse here, okay? You notice what he said. Hopefully he did, because I underlined it. See, we don't want to make things too hard here, right? You can go to other churches for that. We want to make it really simple for you. See, he followed the Lord apparently immediately. The Lord said, go sacrifice Isaac, even though the promise depended upon Isaac being alive. And Abraham follows. They travel to the place. They bring the wood. Abraham is not in denial about what God is asking him to do. Okay, remember that? We talked about that a few weeks ago. That true faith is not denial of the reality of your situation. It's just a trust and a belief that God is bigger than your situation. Okay? We talked about that a few weeks ago. So Abraham's faith had grown to this point. He's not denying about what's about to happen. He's not in denial about what God has asked them. But we see his faith. This is mature faith in full measure here. His trust in God and the outcome. Okay? God said, I need to sacrifice my son. Okay. But I also know God has promised that Isaac would be my heir. And he would have many descendants. So how does that reconcile? Here, we're going to see some insight here. Hebrews chapter 11. Insight into what Abraham is saying. It says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God said through him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Right? Abraham knew the promise. He was not in denial about the situation. Okay? He knew what was happening, okay? And I love how this spells out the reality of the situation, because sometimes people paint followers of Jesus like we walk around in blind faith. Our faith is not blind. Our faith is rooted in reality. It's rooted in the promise of Scripture, okay? We believe the reality outside of this building and outside of Scripture speak to a creator, a designer. That makes the most sense if you're open to it, okay? True faith is not denial of reality. Okay? But he realized what was happening, but he remembered the promise of God. Verse 19, Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. So here we go. He thought Isaac was going to be killed, and he thought God would raise him from dead because that's the only way he could reconcile what was about to happen, because he knew God had made a promise. And for 30 years, he had seen God reaffirm that promise and come through for him time and time and time again. So there it is, black and white. Okay, God wants me to kill Isaac, child sacrifice. Even if it didn't all make sense to him, he's like, okay. And then God's going to raise him from the dead. Because that was the only way the promise was going to be kept, and he trusted the God of the promise. And so in obedience, Abraham moved on. Back to Genesis chapter 22, verse 6. It says, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Apparently, Isaac didn't know the plan, right? Can you imagine as a parent, like in that moment, like, ugh. You know? Maybe they had a conversation. Okay? Isaac was old enough to resist a little bit, to ask those questions that make sense. Maybe he told him, like, "Listen, Isaac, God has promised descendants through you, but God's asked that we sacrifice you, but I believe God's going to raise you from the dead." Not that Isaac would be, "Okay, sounds like a great plan to me," right? You know, being killed with a knife is, that's not going to sound good. We don't know if they had that conversation or if it was just a son trusting his dad in that moment. I don't know. Okay? So I can't comprehend this situation as a dad. That question would break my heart. You know, where's the lamb? But here we see Abraham's faith rise to the surface again. Verse 8, Abraham answers, said, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. And when they reached the place where God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. So here Abraham shows his faith, not a denial about what may be getting ready to happen. Worst case scenario, he believed that God would raise his son from the dead. Best case, that God would provide something else. But we see here, he didn't know what was going to happen. But he did believe that Isaac was going to come back with him regardless, okay? So this was the faith of a father, faith of a man of God, okay? We see it. But his faith was to God first and foremost, more than even to his son. And number three here, we see a substitute sacrifice. Okay, Genesis chapter 22. It said, then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." I mean, this was the ultimate test of faith, right? Can you imagine pulling that knife out of the sheath? Okay, any minute, God, right? And often when we face a test of faith, like, you know, many of us might have bailed out before we even made the trip. Many of us might have bailed out on that trip. Okay, they reached there the third day. It doesn't mean it was three full days, but there was at least one full day of walking. Okay? If not two. That's plenty of time to let the doubts creep in, right? Plenty of time to reason your way out of what God asked you to do. Well, that doesn't make sense, right? Pulls the knife out. Angel stops him. Verse 13, it says, Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its thorns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of the son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." And so here we see a substitute sacrifice in place of Isaac. This foreshadows Jesus as our sacrificial lamb, a substitute sacrifice. Now we understand, if you're familiar with the Old Testament at all, that through the law of Moses, the sacrificial system was set up. Okay? And each one of those sacrifices wasn't necessarily foreshadowing Jesus, but in a way they were. They're a sacrifice for sins. Okay? That sin, our rebellion against God, would have to be dealt with, that it required something. Each one of those looking forward to the cross of Christ, specifically the Day of Atonement, once a year. And here the Lord provides a ram, a substitute sacrifice. Right at the moment that Abraham was about to follow through in his obedience to the Lord, even when it didn't make sense. Okay? It says, "The Lord will provide." And then God reaffirms the original promise. And have you guys noticed that all the way through, God reaffirms his promise? Like, all the way through. You guys notice that if you've been here every week or most weeks? He reaffirms his promise and commitment to Abraham many, many, many times. Right? If you think the Lord is talking to you and promising you something, I suggest you write it down. If he never says it again, that may not be from the Lord. Okay? I'm not trying to talk you out of something. But God will work with us, and if it's something he's calling us to do, if it's something he's asking us to do, if it's a promise he's made, he will repeat it, and he will repeat it, and he will repeat it, and you will not be able to get away from it. Okay? Does that make sense? There's a pattern of Scripture here, okay? That doesn't mean we count the times he promised it to Abraham, like, well, God, you didn't do it this many times. But just the pattern here, okay? If God wants us to do something and he's leading us to do it like Abraham, whether it's a test of faith or not, he's going to reaffirm that. That doesn't mean we're in rebellion, okay? It might, but that doesn't mean it. But he wants us to be obedient to him. He wants us to see this through. He's not like going to whisper something to us once and go, that's it, that's your only chance. Right? You guys with me? Because sometimes we act like God is trying to set us up. Okay? We talk a good game, but sometimes we act like God's trying to set us up. Okay? He only told me once, that's it. That's the only chance I've got. No. God works with us because he wants to see us live the life that he's called us to, that he's designed us for. Okay? So we see this with Abraham. And that's why this story, listen, it wouldn't have happened earlier in his life. Maybe even when Isaac was a newborn, okay? It had to happen at this point in his life. Abraham had learned that he could trust God. Verse 15 says, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Listen, Abraham's obedience, which was birthed out of his faith, it was necessary, it was critical. All right? Disobedience could have derailed the plans of God through Abraham. Well, what would God have done? He'd called somebody else. Right? God determined to raise up a nation for him. He was going to do it. Right? It was clear through the covenants he made with Abraham, he didn't necessarily need Abraham's help or assistance. He just needed Abraham's obedience. Sometimes they're the same thing. Sometimes they're not. He just needed Abraham to obey, to follow him. And it said, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. So this promise wasn't just about Israel. That was sort of the first part of it. But ultimately, it was about Jesus being made available to all the world, about Jesus, our substitute sacrifice for our rebellion against our Creator. This was the promise that he made to Abraham. And here he reaffirms the promise one more time. You know, I asked you at the beginning what your biggest test of faith was, okay? And maybe some of you younger, you're like, I don't know that I've had a huge one, okay? But sometime it's going to come, okay? There's going to be a test of faith, whether life throws it at you or whether the Lord's asking you to do something that doesn't make sense. Maybe it's a call into missions halfway around the world. Maybe it's like, yeah, God's going to call me into a career or job that I don't really want, okay? Maybe God changes your calling. Whatever it is, there will be this test of faith. Maybe it's leaving a job, a career. Listen, in that moment, what do you do? And your choice really will reveal the depth of your faith or lack thereof, right? Because we often talk a good game, right? Thank you, two of you with me. Talk about my faith being really high right now. Come on, this is shorter than normal. Right? Our actions prove our faith, correct? Okay? They do. What we truly believe is borne out in our actions, right? James makes that case in James chapter 2 as he's writing, right? And he talks about Abraham specifically here. James chapter 2, verse 21. It says, was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Okay, you see that his faith and his actions were working together and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. This was in the whole passage of chapter 2, if you remember, James says, you have faith, show me your deeds. right? It's kind of this, almost he was debating himself, laying out this thing. Yes, faith is necessary. That's how we're saved. But if our faith is real, it'll lead to something. That's what he's saying. Okay, deeds don't save us. Us doing specific things don't save us. But if we're truly saved and we truly have faith, that will show up in what we do. That's what he's saying. Right? Was that too much, too fast? That makes sense, right? Because that's really how we live. Every part of our life, we live like that. If we have faith in something, that'll lead to something else. Right? It does. We don't get up in the morning, right, worried that we're going to fly off the planet that's spinning pretty fast, do we? Some of you didn't know that. Okay, look, get a grab of science. Some of you. Right? We have faith that gravity is going to hold us to the ground. Right? Whose mind did I just blow? Of all the things I've said today, like we're spinning right now? Seriously. Right? We have faith in gravity, so we don't get up afraid every morning that we're going to be wake up floating in the air somewhere, right? Okay? It's maybe not the best example I could come up with, but I did. Our faith is revealed in our actions, right? Let's have an example here. Let's say you feel like God is calling you. We'll try not to make it super specific. Okay, let's make it fun, all right? Let's pick on Ian. Ian, I know you won't be bitter if I pick on you. Let's say you feel like God is calling you somewhere awesome, Antarctica, to open a donut shop. Because we know they need a donut shop, right?
And penguins.
And what?
Penguins eat donuts.
Penguins. Let's just make it a Dunkin' so you can have some caffeine with your donuts, all right? Let's do that. Dunkin' Donuts, right? Now, that doesn't make any sense on a certain level. But if you truly have faith in God, you're going to try to find a way to get to Antarctica to open that donut shop, right? Was that too bizarre? Did I lose you guys? Too bizarre. Okay. Listen, our faith in God is revealed in our decisions, okay? If I don't believe God is going to come through for me, then I'm going to walk around in fear and mistrust and really, really struggle, even if I come in on a Sunday and kind of sing or clap, you know, sort of make a joyful noise, you know, or depressing noise. If you clap like, I don't know. See, I sit on the front, so if you think I'm picking on you, I don't see you, so you're safe, okay? Our actions reveal our faith. Or lack thereof, okay? And Abraham's story is a picture of true faith lived out, even if it's a scenario we cannot comprehend, okay? My prayer is that we would be people of faith that trust God completely. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. I've got a few more scriptures I want to read. We're gonna sing another song of worship, and then we're going to close with communion today. But here we go. I read this a couple weeks ago. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture, okay? It's about faith. Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 18, it says, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was also dead." Right? That's the reality situation. Here's the fate. "Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God, but he was strengthened in his faith, and he gave glory to God." Why? Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. Okay? His faith was in the promise maker, not in the difficulty of the promise. In church, often we struggle because we make an idol about the promise. We make an idol about the answer to prayer. Okay? Would you think about that? Maybe you've not heard it said that way before. So many times we want our answer to prayer more than we want to draw near to the Lord. We make an idol out of the thing we want instead of the one who can give us that. Okay? Don't let that promise become an idol. Whatever promise you feel like the Lord has made you, if you feel like he's made it, great, write it down. Let him remind you. Let him reassure you. Don't make that an idol. Because if we make that an idol, we pursue that thing more than we pursue the one who made the promise. And he's the only one that can make that happen. Okay? I know that sounds kind of woo up here, but I've seen it. I get more answers to prayer when I'm not asking for that thing than when I am. often during worship or prayer when I'm not focused upon what I want, but upon the Lord. Okay? A couple questions. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, you say, yep, that's me. I've committed my life to Jesus. A couple questions I want you to think about, pray about while we sing, while we respond. Like, is your faith being tested? Okay? Maybe you're in the midst of a challenge or difficulty and your faith is being tested. Right? And even if it's not, the rest of these questions are important. You need to write them down, remember them. Like, what has God actually promised you? Sometimes we are hoping for something God hasn't promised. What has God actually promised you? If you don't know, somebody asked me this a few weeks ago because we've been talking a lot about the promises of God. Well, what if I don't feel like God has spoken to me and given me a specific promise? Okay? Then we rely on the general promises that He's made in Scripture. Okay? And I will bring this back to you every time. The most consistent general promise that He made that still applies today is He's promised to be with us. And if we're honest, sometimes we want more. But He's not promised us more every time. He's promised us Himself. Okay? Another question to ask, we just talked about, has the promise become an idol? Okay, the thing you want, don't let it become an idol. Okay, don't love the promise more than the promiser. Okay, and confess your fears. Like, if you have fears and doubt, confess it to Him. He knows it anyway, but sometimes it's good to admit, Lord, man, I'm scared about this deal. Like, I don't want to go to Antarctica open a donut shop. Right? That was ridiculous, but think about it. Confess it to Him. And ask God to reaffirm that promise, okay, because He does in Scripture all the time. Why? Because He wants you to be obedient. He wants you to be faithful. He wants you to receive what He's promised for you. Okay? Again, it's not a setup. If God was going to set us up, He wouldn't have sent Jesus and we'd all be lost. He will never do anything harder than that. Jesus will never do anything harder than hopping on that cross for us. He knew what was coming. Jesus didn't have to die. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down. I call the angels if I want to. I don't even need them, but I can. Right? That's the hardest thing He'll ever do for us, is be that substitute sacrifice and pay the penalty of our rebellion. That's the hardest thing He'll ever do. So we've got to trust Him. We've got to rely upon His presence in our lives. And if there's no specific promise, hang on to the most general promise that He will be with us. Okay? At the end of the Great Commission, in Matthew chapter 28. You remember what the very last promise is? Speaking to His disciples, He's speaking to the church. He said, I will be with you always. Very ends of the age. Let us be content with the one promise He keeps making. It's like, I'm going to give you myself. Right? When you come to me, I'm going to send my Spirit to live in you, to help you live for me. It's a promise Jesus made. So let's be content with that. I'm going to ask you guys to stand. What I want us to do, we've got a song to sing. If you're struggling in your faith this morning, or you would like prayer for anything else, we want to pray for you. Okay? I'm going to ask Frank and Karina to come up over here. Right? I'm going to go over here. We got some of our other leaders going to be in the back. Guys, let us pray for you. It may not be about this message. Maybe you came in and you're just sick. You want somebody to pray for you. Listen, we believe that God still heals. We believe it's biblical. Right? We're just going to put a hand on your shoulder. We're going to pray for you. Okay? Believe that God's going to work in your life. So let us pray for you. If you're online, send in an online connect card. We'd love to be praying for you, standing with you. So if we can pray for you this morning, please let us pray for you. We are a family. That's what a family does. But let's worship the Lord together this morning. And if you need to respond, please respond.